everybody. Welcome to 500 Open Tabs. I'm Hannah Hillam.
And I'm Kaveh Taharian, and we are your hosts.
Welcome back.
Welcome. Thank you for joining us. As we were just discussing, I made sure to shower today because Whoa. I'm coming to you as a refreshed Gael Garcia Bernal this episode.
You really do look like him. Like a lot. You sent me that photo and I was like, oh yeah, there's your doppelganger.
I showered, so you know, it's, you can't say I don't look good this time. Anyway, I'm going to start looking into I'm going to start investing in eye creams. I'm going to start getting those like stickies that you put on the face. I don't know what they're called.
Oh,
they're just like the
patch,
like, it's like the eye patch under your eye that somehow makes your eyes less tired looking.
Yeah, I don't know if any of it really works.
I mean, it must. People spend money on it, right? They spend a lot of cash. Skincare is a real thing.
People spend money on psychics too, so.
You know what? I'm going to start looking into tabs for skincare and under eye routines and then report back to us. How about that?
Speaking of midlife crises, I saw this really funny meme today that was like, millennials need their own like typical midlife crisis. What would it be? And the top answer was podcasts, starting a podcast. So.
My whole life is a crisis, lady. That's how I feel about it.
Same. It's like, which one? Which crisis?
Yeah, I'm like midlife. That's just the middle of the thing that's already been happening. Yeah, it's
right. It's my mid-crisis crisis.
Midlife crisis implies that there was a time where things were good, and suddenly you're reflecting on things not being good. Whereas we've grown up in an era where it's constant panic all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Every day.
It's great.
Anyway,
yeah, and it's even better for the generations after us.
Yay.
Is there anything else you wanted to discuss before we go into our tabs?
I mean, it's pretty classic for us Californians to talk about the weather when it rains.
Did you know it was raining a lot?
And the rest of the country's like, yeah, we get it.
Yeah. No, here's the thing. This state is not meant for rain, so none of the infrastructure is prepared for it. It's not that we're afraid of rain.
Our power was out for a day, which was better than last year, which was 4 days. And then LA flooded, right?
Yeah, I barely could drive around the neighborhood because it was like the streets were just flooded.
We're crazy. Not meant for this.
Yeah, not meant for it.
But
anyway, thankfully it stopped now, so it's a little bit drier.
That's what's new.
All right, weather's rainy. Oh, and then one more fun fact that I thought you would laugh at. This morning I got woken up to not one sound of snoring, but two, because Sarah was snoring, but of course our cat Zola had to join in on the fun and was also snoring.
You have a cat that snores?
Double snore. She's so sympathetic to my wife that she also snores
They're like bonded.
Yeah, it's awful. I can't sleep.
That's special.
That's also why I look like tired Gael Garcia Bernal. Leave me alone.
I think it's, listen, get some earplugs.
Maybe. Anyway, okay, that's it. That was my last update. Why don't we get into it?
Okay. You go first this week, right?
Yes. I will go first because first is the worst and second is the best.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Right. You're like, kind of. Okay. So this week, my tab is, it's an article from National Geographic and it's written by Isabel Hernandez. And the title of it is Confessions of a Werewolf, The Trial of Peter Stump.
Oh, okay.
Do you know anything about this?
This sounds vaguely familiar. I think that this was covered in an article I read about witch hunts at some point.
It's possible, yeah.
Men were typically, there was a part in Europe that was like, men are werewolves and women are witches or something. I can't remember.
The two genders, men are werewolves and women are witches.
Werewolves and witches. and then whatever's in between. But yeah, I feel like I read
a werewitch,
it in relation.
I guess would be something. I don't know.
A werewitch, yeah.
Is that a thing? Is a werewitch a thing? Can you turn back and forth into a witch and into
a
regular person?
I think it's just a shapeshifter. Features?
I guess, yeah.
But yeah, I don't think
you stop being a witch when you're a witch. You're just always a witch.
But you're sometimes a werewolf. Are you?
I mean, I'm certainly hairy enough. I could pull it off.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Please
I
don't
do think you
people.
And I fit into those, actually. You're a little bit more witchy, and I'm a little bit more werewolfy. Actually, this tracks. Maybe they were onto something.
Oh, my gosh. Witches and werewolves. Look at us. Typical. But yeah, I feel like I vaguely recognize the name Peter Stump, but tell me about it.
All right, so I'll tell you. So the little blurb says, on Halloween Day 1589, a rather horrific...
Dope.
Okay, yeah, right? 1589.
I love this time period.
It's perfect. A rather horrific execution took place in the German city of Bedburg. The execution was of a 50-year-old farmer who confessed to committing a sin. Stump suffered terribly during his execution, one of the most brutal on record.
On record, really?
On
That's
record.
That's got to be brutal. Because there's been some really brutal executions.
Yeah. And actually, it's funny enough, just like you were saying. So my first note is, despite their popularity, there are some areas of Europe where there is no record of werewolf trials at all. Because, as you mentioned, witches were the jam at the time.
And warlocks or whatever. Male
warlocks.
Witches.
So in England, wolves were almost completely eradicated in the 16th century. Hence, there was no werewolf trials.
They are bringing them back.
They're bringing them back. And nor
were
there any...
They're trying to rewild it. Yeah. Sorry, I keep interrupting. Go.
No. Go ahead. They're trying to rewild England now, you're saying?
Campaign like rewilding Britain. And they're bringing back like boars that were all hunted to death by the king's people and whatever. Anyway, planting forests.
This is more recently?
Yeah, this is now. They're bringing back native animals. Go on.
I always like the native animals being repopulated. It's a sign of good to me.
Yeah.
There was also no werewolf trials along the Mediterranean. And those places were just all witch trials. Witches famously get stitches.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah. So the Germans, as is often the case, they're a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
So the werewolf panics were centered in areas with wild wolves, forested regions, and a strong culture of livestock herding, which... very typically was very much about Germany and France.
Okay.
Yeah. So fears of real wolves preying on animals and children grew into fears of demonic wolves because they were already sort of used to it. So it was just extrapolated. If rabid wolves were present, werewolves might be blamed for their quote unquote crimes, which I thought was a really funny line that was in one of these articles. The idea that like a wolf commits a crime.
Dude, they were always
hilarious.
Doing that. They were like, this cow is bad. Let's execute it in the town square or whatever.
Clearly, they had to find prior intent. So they had to go into the wolves' emails and see that there was like a chain going back and forth being like, we know it's wrong to murder a cow, but we're going to do it anyway. And that's the smoking gun.
It's conspiracy theories. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of those here. So as you said earlier, again, thank you. Accused werewolves were mostly male and mostly shepherds.
Oh,
yeah. So, you know, to put it more succinctly, boys becoming men, men becoming wolves. Werewolf bar mitzvah.
Spooky, scary, right?
Scary. Yep. That's exactly right.
That song has never left my head.
Never. So this whole period is about werewolf bar mitzvahs happening left and right.
Mazel.
So in Bedburg, Germany, a series of cattle mutilations and monstrous killings took place between 1564 and 1589. And at first, they thought it was sort of like your run-of-the-mill wolf attacks. But as they sort of uncovered these mutilations and murders, they were like, this shit's a little too real. It doesn't look like a normal kind of wolf killing. So naturally, it escalated and people started making werewolf accusations by the 1580s.
Wow.
And of course, this is the time where medieval Ronald Reagan got elected president. It's also when the Thriller music video came out, which very famously had werewolves in it. So the critics were raving about it. So that might have steeped into everyone's subconscious.
Played at every werewolf bar mitzvah.
Nonstop. Still an excellent werewolf music video.
I think it's the only one, right?
That's a good question, actually. I feel like Thriller was the one where like they did it and everyone's like, we're not going to do a better job than that. So there's kind of
maybe.
No point. Yeah. Let us know. Email us 500opentabs@gmail.com. If there's a cool werewolf video that we should know about, let us know in the comments or email us. Maybe we'll watch it and cover it. I'd like to know. I'm sure it exists. Maybe like a music video from those. What was it? Was Underworld the name of the movies that came out in the early 2000s?
Movies?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe. Or I kept thinking that. Monster Mash song.
True.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, of course. They did the mash, the Monster Mash. Or Twilight. Yeah. Twilight, I'm sure, had something where they had wolves. And I don't know if there was a music video. I'm sure there was like some sort of official music video compilation of something or other where, like, I don't know, Bryan Adams sings a song. That's probably too old of a reference for this audience.
Yeah.
Do you remember that music video for...
No.
You remember what Robin Hood, Men of Thieves?
No.
Prince of Thieves. Men in Tights. I was confusing Men in Tights.
Yeah,
Men in
Tights. I was trying to figure that out. I was like...
There was the Kevin Costner version of Robin Hood that came out in the early 90s. And then Bryan Adams sang that song that was... Everything I do it for you.
That was for that movie?
That was for that movie. That played all the time that summer that it came out. It was a huge, huge hit.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've fully derailed this.
Where are we?
There was werewolf accusations happening in the 1580s because of Ronald Reagan becoming president.
And the Thriller music video. You derailed this. Okay.
Yes, as I often do.
I thought it was me.
So rumors began circulating of a werewolf-like creature after a local girl was attacked. And as she was getting attacked, she was freaking out and she called on divine intervention. She prayed. And suddenly she was saved by a cattle stampede.
Oh.
Very convenient.
Oh.
Yeah. Again, we don't have proof that this was a result of divine intervention or if Scar was trying to kill Mufasa. We just don't know. Somehow this stampede happened at the right time.
That I don't all know 90s what to do. All I'm trying to do is imagine this, and then I've got Ray Reagan in there, and I've got Lion King. So
Bryan Adams is singing
huge...
a song about the whole thing. He's like, "We're a bar mitzvah."
Spooky, scary. I gotta rewatch that whole series. Okay, back 100%. On track.
Yes. So there's a stampede. This girl's getting attacked by a wolf-like creature. She's freaking out. She prays to God. I'm sorry. There's not a stampede. This girl's getting attacked by this wolf. She prays to God, and the stampede saves her. And as this is happening, a bunch of local farmers show up, and they're like, "Oh, we gotta save the girl!" And they rescue her, and then they encounter a wolf amongst this giant stampede, and they cut off its left forepaw. Just chop it all off. This tale becomes the basis for the trial of Peter Stump that took place in 1589. The 90s references are going to continue. When the farmer later...
It's almost the 1590s. 1589?
It's almost the 1590s.
We're right about to get into the 90s here.
Yeah. So when the farmer later encounters Peter Stump, the farmer notices that Stump is also missing his left hand. Which, by the way, there's no proof of this. I can't really find evidence. He may or may not be Peter Stump. Like, that might have just been a name that they told him because he didn't have a hand.
They called him Stump.
That might be. That's not official. There's no proof of this. But that's the theory, is that they're literally just like, "You're Peter Stump now because you have one hand."
Sorry, Peter, whatever, Johnson. Now you're Peter Stump.
You're Peter Stump. He earned it, but like that's basically the evidence where they're like, "Your Honor, this guy's got one hand. We chopped off that wolf's hand. Dr. Richard Kimball is innocent. It was the one-armed man. Clearly, it was the one-armed werewolf."
That's a reference I don't get, but I'm going to pretend I do so I don't look bad.
Did you ever see The Fugitive? The Fugitive with Harrison Ford. Oh, it's so good. It holds up. It's an excellent movie. One of these days, we're going to force you to watch all these movies that I've referenced, and then the podcast will have some sort of like unity, and you'll understand what I'm talking about.
Well, there's just do a drinking game. Every time I don't, a reference goes straight over my head.
Yes.
Yeah.
Apologies to all of our listeners who are shwasted by this point in the episode.
Yes. You're far gone. You're pretty far gone.
So you might think he's just a guy with like a cut off arm. Like, how could this guy be a wolf?
Is it freshly cut off, or has it been that way?
I think it's healed. That's a good question. I don't actually know if it had just been cut off. I don't believe it had.
Okay.
Again, the details are not. That's, you know, it's 1590. There's not, or sorry, 1589. There's not a whole lot of evidence that people could acquire and like records that they were grabbing. But anyway, so how could this one-armed man be a wolf? How could he become a werewolf? Like, what? Because, you know, science, obviously. Stump transformed himself into a wolf by wearing a wolfskin belt.
Oh.
Guess who gave him that belt?
Satan.
Satan, always.
Wait, for real?
You know why? Yeah, because Satan gave it to him, clearly. Yeah. Because he's a fashionista.
He has a lot of nice stuff.
He's got style.
Yeah.
He's like, "Listen, Peter, I'm going to give you this belt. You'll give me your eternal soul. I'm going to give you this power. It'll be awesome. Anytime you wear this belt, you can turn into a wolf. Anytime you don't want to be a wolf, just take off the belt, easy peasy, back to normal.
But don't wolves, they don't have opposable thumbs. How's he going to take that belt off if he's a wolf?
Listen, you sound like a witch and you need to stop asking questions.
Fine, burn me, drown me, whatever.
What are you using logic here? I think she's a witch. She's
poking too many holes in this.
I think you're trying to cast a spell on us. Now I have doubt in my mind. It's because you're a witch.
Well, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. It's not cool. Be careful, Hannah. That's your first warning.
Noted.
So I thought it was kind of fun to imagine Peter Stump after a Thanksgiving dinner where he's just like, he's eaten too much. He's had a lot of stuffing and yams and too much turkey. And he's like, "What? My belt, my wolf belt won't go on. What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to go eat a bunch of kids' brains and mutilate cows? This is terrible." He's got the dad bod. It's tough. His metabolism doesn't quite work the way. He's 50 at this time. So, you know, it's harder and harder to lose little belly.
That wolf belt's not going to go on.
Not
going to
go
on. You got to work
for it. Yeah, he's got to only eat protein and vegetables on Thanksgiving. He can't be stocking up on carbs. It's bad.
No.
So, you know, as you can tell by this point in the story, there's a lot of really good evidence that totally makes sense. And does not
back
seem
it up. Yeah.
You can totally
circumstantial. No,
it's not circumstantial at all. It all seems right. So, but primarily Stump's guilt hinges on his subsequent confession, which, spoiler alert, was secured under extreme torture and threat of even more torture.
Classic. I like how it wasn't until recently that we were like, oh, torture doesn't work.
Yeah. What?
Wait a second.
Yeah.
They'll say anything.
Yep,
to make
yep.
this stop. Yeah.
So anyway. It's the most ACAB of things that are happening at this point. They're literally just torturing him for hours on end. And they're like, if you don't want to get tortured, just say you did all this.
Oh, cop coded.
Which is funny because also I couldn't really find if he like necessarily said all of this stuff or if he was like, just say whatever, please stop torturing me. And then they could have theoretically been like, hey, by the way, like this is all the stuff that he said and he signed off on it. There's no way of knowing because there's no justice.
I think that was what it was because usually if he was like a farmer or a shepherd, is that what it was? That's probably, they probably said, did you do this? Okay, now write the letter X because no one knew how to write.
Yes, no
That's
one could
where
read
X
or write
comes
at that
from.
Time.
Anyway.
Yeah. Some historians believe it's possible that Stump was a murderer. And one has even posited that there were werewolf legends originated because people were trying to explain the presence of serial killers at the time. But that's just a random theory. But even if he wasn't, it is likely that any local wolf attacks on livestock or people were attributed to him as well.
Wow.
And Stump was basically just a fall guy. Like he knew too much. He went to Epstein's Wolf Island. He had to go.
All those underage wolves. Oh. That's maybe cut that. I don't know.
The wolf age of consent is 18 years. What is it? I don't know.
The
age
of
wolf
consent.
I don't know. It depends on the state. It depends on the country, the state, the continent.
Hang on. I'm going to look up how old a wolf is in human years. You keep going.
I mean, if it's a dog, I'm assuming it's the same thing, right? They're canines, right?
No. Yeah, they are.
No,
but
okay. 2-3 years probably in wolf years.
Okay, so a 2-year-old wolf is of age. Is the age of consent.
So you don't know. It could have been okay. Anyway, so Stump was officially charged with killing and eating 14 children.
Oh no.
Including his own son, whose brains he may have eaten, and 2 pregnant women. And he was accused of some incest stuff.
He may have done these things.
It's possible. There's no way of knowing. But you know, that's one of those things where, like, even if his name's cleared and people were like, there's evidence of this not happening, you're not coming back from that.
No.
You're going to be forever remembered for that. So you're hosed.
Yeah.
So he was executed alongside his mistress, Catherine Trompin, and daughter, Sybil.
Trompin?
Both Trompin, T-R-O-M-P-I-N. Trompin.
Okay.
And her daughter, Sybil. So both were executed through the act of flaying and strangling, as Catherine was believed to have been a she-wolf sent by the devil, and Sybil, her daughter, for merely harboring Stump's existence. So she didn't speak up. So she's got to go there? Too. Literally, she just got killed for being. She just showed. She's like, what? And they're like, you're dying too. You're dead.
I would love someday after I die to just. If I could just see how many...
After you're buried, Hannah, let's be real here. You haven't talked about your burial.
I almost did earlier, and I stopped myself.
No, don't stop. The fans want to hear it.
After I'm 6 feet under in the dirt that I love, I want to somehow be able to see all the different people who died just by being in the vicinity. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Kill the messenger.
I mean, you want to be a ghost, basically.
Yeah.
You want to haunt things.
I don't know what I want. All I want to know is everything, you know?
Yes. That's one of my major fears of death. Yeah, it's my fear of death is not getting to find out what happens.
Exactly.
That's the part I don't like about death. Aside also from being dead, that's also not fun. But
yeah.
Yes, it's the FOMO.
Well, brought that episode down again. Your turn.
No, we're talking about a werewolf who like ate baby brains and like had inappropriate relations with underage wolves.
Oh, sick. We need to make a statement. We need to come out against this.
This guy could have done it. He did 9/11. He killed JFK. There's all kinds of stuff that this guy could have been accused of.
He did both of those?
Simultaneously.
He's the Taliban?
He's the one. He's the one. He did it all.
Okay, well.
So in 1590.
We've hit our check marks. You talk about 9/11 and I talk about
being
dead.
That's true.
You
talk about burial.
We're good.
Yeah. Oh, we're good. We did it. We did it, Joe.
Pack it up.
So in 1590, there's this pamphlet that gets published. And it's 16 pages of text, and it has illustrations of episodes from his story showing Stump as a werewolf, his arrest by authorities, his interrogation, and the stages of his brutal execution. So I'm going to show you this right now. And obviously, for those of us who are in who are watching the video, you will actually get to see it. And I urge you guys to look this up. It's actually very cool. This is the thing that I thought was most interesting about it.
Because it would have been our job if we were alive back then?
Literally, yes. So it literally looks like it's like a six-panel comic.
Cartoon.
It's a cartoon, but specifically it's a comic.
What?
And not only is it a regular comic, it's like this. It's like a horror comic because it's showing the stages of like this dude being a werewolf, eating people, and then getting tortured and murdered.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's really interesting. It's really interesting to see it, and it's sequential. And most importantly, like, I think if you kind of to your point that you were saying earlier, like, if you can't read, you can sort of look at this. Yeah, it's a straight up comic.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, this is amazing.
Isn't it awesome?
Okay, so it shows him.
Yeah, go ahead. Describe it.
Man legs and a wolf head kind of just sitting there, like doing like what looks like the Macarena. And then in the second one,
which he also invented.
He invented this man. There's a horse. This looks like it could have been drawn. Today.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
It's really
and then
cool.
At one, they find it. Oh, they get him. They all have some fancy hats. They bring him to what looks like a pope, but it's probably not a pope. It's probably like a magistrate or something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there he... Oh! they've got clamp. They're clamping his nipples. Oh! He's on this wheel, and they've just got these clamps on his nipples.
The clamps. What? Tell the audience what panel number that is.
That is panel number 4.
That's quick.
Panel number 5 looks like they're raising an axe, and it looks like his nipple is gone at this point. It has been ripped off. Just got like full. Oh, they cut his head off.
See, you can tell the whole story just based on those 6 images.
And then they burn his headless body. I'm so happy right now.
Isn't that awesome?
This is insane. Wow.
It's really
cool. We got to post this. This is crazy.
Yeah, I love that thing. I thought that was really like well done.
That would have been us. That would have been our job.
Yeah.
Well, yours. I would have been like in a convent or something for being crazy.
Yeah, that's true. And also I wouldn't have gotten hired because they'd be like, we're not hiring some brown Persia, like indigenous Turk Ottoman to draw this stuff. We're going to give it to like a wealthy white man. A landowner of some sort.
Yeah, you're right. Neither of us would have drawn anything.
Yeah, I probably would have been in prison. They would have been like, Ottoman Turk, put him in jail.
And to me, they would have been like, she said one thing that wasn't good, and now we're killing her. So.
She caused us doubt. We don't like her. She's burning on a pile of fire.
Yep.
Anyway, so the story of Stomp spread far and wide, with the illustrative broadsheets reporting his execution, and not just printed in Nuremberg, but with copies created from woodcuts or engravings in Augsburg, Cologne, Denmark, Antwerp, and London.
Whoa!
So people loved it. It went everywhere. Yeah, because much like today, people were disgusting perverts who love learning about people doing horrible shit to each other and getting murdered.
Yeah, we love it.
You love it.
If it weren't for TV, we'd still have public executions. That's what I think.
It's only a matter of time. So yeah, this thing was like the Jim Lee X-Men number one of its day. Like just 100 million copies sold. It's great. People loved it. But
let's go. We should dress up at Comic-Con as the nippleless. You should go as nippleless Peter Stump with a big wheel attached to you. And I'll go as the guy that cuts your head off.
I love it. Let's do it. We've already got a couple of good ones that we're going to do. We're going to do the Bitcoin one, and then we're going to do this. Maybe we can combine them all into one thing.
But this is original OG comic.
An OG comic. It's really, shout out to the OG comic makers, comic creators who are part of our lineage of what we're doing now.
Yes.
But so you might be thinking, as I often do, doesn't this all seem a little convenient that he's sort of like responsible for 9/11 and the JFK assassination and the Macarena and these murders and these mutilations? It seems like an Epstein Island, like it's a little too convenient. Mm-hmm. So when you start to do a little digging, his alleged crimes coincided with the Cologne War, which went from 1583 to 1588, which was a conflict between Protestant and Catholic factions.
Classic.
So at this time, roving mercenaries terrorized the region, right? So you had dudes who were just like, I don't care, just pay me and I'll murder whoever you want. And also, I don't care about anything or anyone. So
glad we've changed.
Right. This is not a thing. Definitely not happening now.
Not right now.
So these dudes are just like unhinged. They're getting paid by whoever, and they answer to no one. They certainly don't believe in God. They have like no morals. So they're just going around killing whoever, like slaughtering stuff. And maybe they're just getting drunk and like releasing wolves into a crowd of cattle. Maybe they're just like raping and pillaging. Who knows?
Definitely.
But of course, both sides, the Catholics and the Protestants, are hiring whoever they can at this time to help them win that war or that struggle, a control of the region. Mm-hmm. So there's a few theories here, none of which are proven and none of which are like, you know, definitive. So I'm just sort of giving you a couple of different ideas. So one of these theories would be that Stump could have been a scapegoat for their activities, and unsolved crimes could have prompted sinister folk stories of a werewolf prowling the forests. And consequently, Stump may have been singled out to ritually purge the community of evil through his execution. So,
it's a reverse Jesus.
Reverse Jesus, like everybody has to come together and say, okay, we're going to have this one sacrificial lamb and all sort of decide together that this is the dude, this is the reason. Once we murder this guy and he goes, everything's kosher and we got clean slate and we can sort of go back to normal.
Wow.
And furthermore, which to sort of build on that idea, the religious disputes could have provided even further interpretation of Stump's crimes, because by 1589, the Catholic faction had secured control of the Bedburg region. They are the ones who took over. And a brutal trial would have dissuaded Protestants from thoughts of rebellion, keeping them under control.
Oh.
Right? Qui bono, qui benefits, qui you're dead.
Yeah.
And another theory, which again, we don't know if this is true, Stump allegedly had converted to Protestantism.
Oh.
So that could have been a thing as well.
Okay.
And we don't really know
what happens if you convert.
Yeah, it could have just been there's literally like all these different reasons that could have pointed to this guy. So I don't know. All of this is sort of suspect and sort of, you know, I'm just asking questions.
Maybe that's a combo. Yeah,
I'm just asking questions here. I don't know how any of this played out necessarily, because there's no clear evidence. It's mostly comes from this one comic book. And as we all know, don't trust comic book artists because they don't know the truth.
They're prone to making stuff up. Like, half talk about stuff, half talk about bar mitzvah werewolves, you know.
Exactly. They've been known to lie and make things up. So it could be, like you said, any one of these reasons, or perhaps all of them, or some configuration.
Probably all.
It's also possible that Stump was just a dude who's wife had died and then whose son had died and he was like sad. And then they were like, whatever, screw this guy. We're just going to kill old Stumpy over here for just not having an arm. Screw him.
We don't like him.
We don't like him. What kind of a person doesn't have an arm? Like, it could have just been some horrible shit like that. don't know. We don't know. All that really exists now is that pamphlet. So
is that comic with the nipple being ripped off? I'm still thinking about it.
Nipple being ripped off. Yeah. So just to sort of wrap this up. So how did they actually kill him?
Yeah.
So you got a lot of it from the comic. So first thing they did was they strapped him to a breaking wheel. Then flesh was torn from his body. That's where you're seeing the nipples, or no longer seeing the nipples at that part. Then his arms and legs were broken via the hard side of an axe.
Oh, blunt force?
Blunt force. And if that wasn't enough, after that, he was beheaded. And they burned his body. And then, as the final pièce de résistance, his head was mounted upon a spear for all to see, acting as a warning against people using sorcery and conspiring with the devil. Just don't do it, fair listeners. Not worth it.
Don't conspire with the devil.
Even if he gives you a cool belt.
Even if he gives you a shapeshifter belt.
Yeah.
It's not worth it.
Not worth it. I couldn't find anything about maybe what had happened to that belt. I'm very curious if that belt has sort of gone on in history and other people are wearing it. But we don't know. There's
like
no other
been
sign
passed
of the belt.
Down.
I would like to think that. I think that would be fun. It's a fun story to consider.
That kind of reminds me of how they, after Oliver Cromwell died, you know, the person everyone hates in Ireland, they went and dug him up and hung him.
Like after he was already dead?
Yeah. They were like, this is not enough. And then they went and just had just hung his corpse.
The Brutal. Irish did this.
No, the royalists.
Oh, the royalists. I don't know the story, to be honest. So
I can't go into it. It won't.
Okay.
I'll just never stop talking. So.
Oh, okay. That'd be a cool one to learn. I feel like we would probably have a cool... I imagine that we're going to have a good Irish fan base at some point, considering how much we shit on the English every episode.
Yeah. anyway, so yeah, he was... Then what? They burned his body and that was that? Did they bury him?
They burned his body and they chopped off his head and they put it on a stake. I don't actually know if he got a proper burial. I imagine... I don't know. I have no idea. I have no idea. They didn't say anything. That was not in the comic. Unfortunately, they didn't do a sequel.
We can.
Yeah, we can actually do... Oh, that'd be fun if he comes back as a werewolf, but not because he wants to become a wolf and kill everybody, but because he just loved the belt so much. He's trying to get like an awesome outfit together in the afterlife, and he's just like, where is my werewolf belt? I cannot go out looking like this. So it's a story about how he comes back to Earth to try and find the best outfit possible to wear.
To find that belt. It was a dope belt.
I get it.
Wow. That was a crazy story.
Crazy, right?
Yeah. I wish I could just know, you know?
What happened to him, if it was real or not? Yeah.
I just want to know the details of like what, you know, what led to this. I mean, we've seen people go crazy and easily find one target to focus on, and we're humans, but like, how did it all start? Like, what was he like? Did he kill those people? I don't know.
He was like, eat brains and his own kids' brains, and there was a cannibal and like ate fetuses inside of. I mean, it all just sounds like insane, right? I'm just
it
like,
all
probably didn't do
like
a lot of this.
German story, because that's
it's true.
Like Hansel and Gretel, they left because their parents were gonna eat them.
Yeah. So basically,
I got that wrong. No, someone was gonna eat them.
The old lady was gonna eat them, right? Isn't the old witch?
Oh yeah. They were starving and their parents were like, get out of here, we can't feed
you. Go figure it out. Yeah. They're like adult pandas. They're like, we're not taking care of you. You're a twin. Like, go deal with it.
Go in the woods and get eaten.
Figure it out.
Anyway.
Go shit 40 times a day. We don't have time for this. Anyway, I tried to be more succinct this week. That was it. I also tried to keep it shorter.
That was impressive.
Thank you.
I was like, I was in it for the long haul, though. I was ready for more.
More 90s references. More film references that you would not get.
I want to remake the story of Peter Stump, but adapt it for the 90s.
I think the 1590s or for the 1990s?
No, the 1990s.
The 1890s.
That's like Jack the Ripper. Anyway.
Yes, that's the end of my tab. We'll post the, as we always do, the links are in the show notes. And go check it out if you guys are interested. Also, you can do a Google search and there's some fun stuff about it. But I encourage you guys to look up the images specifically, like the comic strip, because it's really cool.
It really is cool. Like I felt like I was looking at a more modern thing. It's fascinating. Yeah,
and it also, I always think it's cool when you're like, the thing that we do is not just this like crazy pulpy thing that started in the 20s or 30s. It's like some form of sequential art has like basically always been around, and to see it sort of in this
cave paintings
that's, too, but see it like in this, what I liked about it is like it's a sequence of panels, and it's also mass distributed.
I wonder if there's anything before that, or if that's kind of the first instance of that.
I think there might be. I don't actually know. I thought about, this is where I exercised self-control this week, was that I was going to start looking into that, but then I was like, nope, that's going to be a whole other thing. But
good job.
That's going to, yeah. So that might be something I look into, because I'm actually curious about that as well.
Yeah, do like a little branch off tab. Anyway.
Yeah.
Hey there, this is Adreed Kave, here to give that poor little guy host Kave a break. Hannah and I would like to ask you for help by going to nebula.tv/500opentabs and signing up for Nebula, where they have exclusives like Why Our TVs Wanted to Kill Us in 90s Movies by Tech Alter. Ever noticed that 90s movies were obsessed with evil media? Shows plunging societies into ruin, video games that trap and torture players, and VHS tapes that kill anyone that watches them? What caused this sudden obsession? These kinds of wonderful video essays never cease to amaze me. I had to get a master's and go countless thousands of dollars into debt. But you kids now? You can get an annual subscription to Nebula that gives you the same insights for the cost of a carton of eggs, at the time of this recording, probably. You can find this video and dozens of other high production originals on Nebula, a video streaming platform built by and for creators. And along with videos and podcasts, you can now learn new skills in Nebula's fully produced classes. Go to nebula.tv/500opentabs and get 40% off an annual subscription. By signing up, you can support other creators like Maggie Mayfish, Princess Weeks, and many more. Remember, sign up at nebula.tv/500opentabs. Otherwise, Hannah and I will assume you hate us and will cry, much like host Kave is doing right now from not being allowed to talk for a whole 2 minutes.
Anyway, so what do you got for us this week?
So I went back to I had something big, and then I was like, there's too much. This is too much. I got to figure out how to pare it down a little bit. So I went with another one that I also was really excited for, and I'm going the linguistics route again.
Okay.
And yeah, so this time it's a tab called, the article is called What the Folk? The Charming Yet Totally Malappropriate Story of Folk Etymology.
So, what the folk are you talking about, Hannah?
I'll tell
folk
you.
You.
Folk off. Okay. Folk etymology. Off. So word etymologies are always really.
All I heard
bad.
Was.
What have I done?
Folk edamame was all I heard when you said that.
I'm going to teach you all to make edamame.
Love edamame.
Put it in the microwave. Etymologies are the histories of where words come from, and they're mm-hmm. you know, and a lot of times, have you ever seen websites that are like, here's some a list of surprising words and what they mean and where they come from, and it's like stuff that just seems a little too good to be true.
I can't say that I've necessarily looked that up, but I believe you that it exists.
Okay, so there's a lot of things like that people are like, and this word comes from this, and a lot of it's not real, but that's what I'm getting into today. Folk etymologies, which are popular but mistaken accounts of the origins of words or phrases.
Oh, you're pulling the curtain back. You're doing some investigatory journalism.
It's kind of going to ruin some things. So have you ever
heard this is good. This is going to prevent people from sounding like idiots at dinner parties.
Or they might turn into me trying to hold their tongue and not ruin the party by being like, actually.
I don't want to be at a party that you're not at ruining. That seems like a party that's not worth going to.
That is honestly one of the nicest things anyone has ever said to me.
Why do you think I started a podcast with you? Are you insane?
I don't know. Yes, I am. You know that.
That's true. That was a rhetorical question.
No, I know. We're both insane. Do you follow the account Fake History Hunter on Twitter?
No.
This account is fascinating. It's this person who made their crusade to find all the fake history that these history accounts or like interesting facts accounts will spread. So like, here's an example, like the phrase rule of thumb.
Yeah.
A lot of that on the internet, everyone's like, that comes from an old English law that a man could beat his wife with a stick if it was no larger than his thumb. It was called the rule of thumb.
Okay.
And that is not 100% not true. That's
okay.
It was, and of course I didn't actually look up what it really means, but
man, you set me up and then didn't pay it off.
Oh yeah, this makes sense. As like, so what it comes from actually is using the thumb as a unit of measurement. So the old English word for inch,
inch
is actually inch. It's okay. For the word inch, it's actually defined as the breadth of a man's thumb at the base of the nail. So an inch comes from rule of thumb, using your thumb to measure, which I do all the time with like, if I don't have a ruler, I'm like, this is as long as my arm or whatever. Anyway, so that's one example of like, it's been spread far and wide and it's like, that's not true. Or the F word, fornication under something
cardinal
of the
knowledge.
King. Yeah,
I thought it was fornication under cardinal knowledge is what I remember.
Something
hearing.
Like that. And it's not. It comes from a German word for plow, to plow.
Plow.
Anyway,
I love it.
Yeah. It's even better. That's the thing. It's like, that makes sense. anyway, so humans, besides the mistaking it and assigning it to other meanings, it's also defined as the transformation of words so as to give them an apparent relationship to better known or better understood words. So
yeah, that makes sense.
We hear a word and we're like, that sounds like this, and that makes more sense. Like
you're like, oh, okay, sure, yeah, why not?
Yeah, we're gonna go with that, and I'll get to some of the examples. But
okay,
since humans, you know, we love answers and craving knowledge.
Yeah, we love patterns.
We love patterns and answers and making like links in our head to things. We'll get really interested in this, even if it's made up. Even if we kind of know in the back of our heads that it's made up, we like that feeling of it being whole or complete in a fun way.
Yeah, that's a witch. She put a thing into my brain. It's not because of logic. I like burning witches.
Is this my second warning?
Yeah, that's satisfying. Yeah. No, <it's... laughs> you better not ruin anything else for me, Hannah.
I'm about to.
You're on thin ice.
Well, that's one way to test a witch. One of my pet peeves is,
yeah,
this is similar, but when somebody shares like little facts, and one of the facts is always, back in the day, humans only lived to be 30. I hate this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hate it. It's not true. It's never been true. When everyone's like, 30 was old age, I want to like drop kick them into space. Because it's like they're including the infant mortality rate. That makes no sense.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
Why would a human race survive if we could only... Anyway, so most people
live
actually
till 30,
lived... Right. Most people actually live to be between 50 and 70. That's my thing that I will crusade for the rest of my life. Anyway, so I got...
Until you're buried in the ground.
Until I'm dead in the ground, 6 feet under. So the reason I got into this tab hole, because it's a hole.
Okay.
Warning you now. But the reason I got into it was because I was like, where does the word okay come from? Because I was looking at okay, and it's just two letters. So like, what does that mean? It's got to be short for something. Turns out, no one really knows.
Okay.
There's like 100 guesses or more. People just being like, maybe this, maybe that. And a lot of them were like just based on Andrew Jackson.
What?
And like he made it up. And no, I think it was just
like he popularized it, maybe, is what they're thinking.
Yeah, but it's probably from, they've settled on one that's probably the thing, which is abbreviation of or correct.
What? Or correct?
Oral correct. Spelled
oral correct? What the hell?
So among all of the hundreds of reasons that it could be mean okay, oral correct comes from like a humorous form of saying all correct.
Oral correct? Like they were making fun of it? Like somebody was hanging out with their friends and someone said all correct and he was like, oral correct.
Well, no, that's like... It just sounds like all in a different, like, ooh, like a Boston accent.
Yeah.
Oral correct.
Oral correct.
And it was
Boston.
And that's what they kind of settled on. Like, it kind of goes back to old correct misspelled, which I don't like that. No one likes it, which is why they like to like assign it to other things. Like Andrew Jackson made it up.
Naturally, that's the next logical extrapolation of that. It's like, it's not quite oral correct. Andrew Jackson, clearly.
Oral correct.
Oral correct.
Some places it says oral correct and some says all correct.
Yeah, it just sounds like English, like all correct.
Yeah. They think it was just like a kind of a jokey way to say all correct.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah. But really, truly, we don't know. That's the best
somebody else
guess.
Was like, that's stupid. It should just be okay. I'm not saying that anymore.
Yes, exactly. Like, we're just going to... And now it's one of the most used words in the world because every language has borrowed it.
Yeah, I was going to say, it goes across every language.
They also think it might have been from...
Another reference
Native American for like... Good, got it, good, or whatever, something like that.
Also very famously in the movie Bloodsport with Jean-Claude Van Damme when he first shows up and he's trying to get it into where the Comité is secretly hiding. There's a giant guard that's holding it and he like looks at them and then he just goes, okay, USA! And then he lets them in. I'll show you the clip. It's really funny.
I have a lot of movies to watch.
Bloodsport is a classic film. Okay. It's cinema with a capital C. I love Bloodsport.
Every film.
Because I love a lot of movies.
I know. You went to like movie school or whatever.
I know. It's so dumb.
It's not called movie school.
It should be. I have a master's in movie school.
I have a master's in folk etymology. No, I don't.
Folk etymology.
There's so many. I got reading about okay. And that's a whole different tab. I can't go into that. It's too much.
All right.
But then I was like, oh, it's an example of folk etymology. So I followed that tab. And there it was, this giant list of just
the mother load.
Words. And there are thousands and thousands and thousands. So I went through and picked the ones that felt really interesting to me. So, for example, sirloin, like sirloin steak.
Sirloin steak, yeah.
There was for like 300 years, people were like, oh, sirloin comes from when King James of the Bible fame pulled out his sword and knighted a really exceptionally delicious piece of meat that he was eating as sirloin because it was from the loin of the cow. Anyway, turns out that's not true at all, of course.
No.
And it was from French, sir, above, loin, above the loin.
Yeah. I thought that was just like a cheeky nickname somebody gave for their own genitals. Be like, it's the sirloin. You will address him as the loins. No, he's not my loins. It's sirloin.
Honestly, knowing about King James, that would be more likely to be believed because that guy.
Listen, we're starting that rumor right now and it's going to spread. And then that account that you mentioned on Twitter is going to have to try and debunk us later.
Sorry. You're my favorite account.
Yeah.
Another one is muskrat. So that
muskrat. Yeah.
Yeah. That little rodent that lives here in America.
He owns Twitter.
He owns. Oh, my gosh. You're right. He's ruining it. Muskrat.
Don't put rodents in charge of giant social media conglomerates.
No, they'll drive
idea.
Them into the ground, just like me when I'm dead. So this is the word for this is the word for that little rodent that's native to native North America. So when the English came over in the 1600s, they heard the native Massachusetts tribe call them musquash, and they were like, "That sounds kind of like musk, which kind of sounds like something an animal would smell like." And rat, which that thing looks like a rat. So that is what they did. They're like, that's a muskrat. And really, it's just from a native word that doesn't even mean rat or musk, obviously.
Interesting.
Avocado is another one. So, your favorite.
Yeah.
Avocado comes from an Aztec word from the Nahuatl language. Please, I hope I pronounced that. I think I did.
We're doing our best.
And it comes from the Nahuatl word aucatl. Aucatl.
Aucatl.
And that's the root word for avocado. And so when the Spanish came over, they were like, "What? We'll go with aguacate." That sounds a little bit like it. Same with chocolate. Okay. Chocolatl was a word from the same language, and they were like, chocolate. We're going to go with that as we destroy.
Interesting. That's
destroy
where the origins
your whole
of
culture.
Chocolate actually is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But here's the thing everybody thinks, that avocado means testicle. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't. but it kind of does. So the Aztecs would nickname testicles avocados because they were wrinkly.
It was a chicken and the egg kind of situation.
Yes, it was like a, this is the word for avocado, but we're also going to call our testicles these because they look kind of like,
because men, basically.
Men are because like, that looks dudes, like my balls.
Yeah, because dudes rock, as the kids would say.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So it kind of went in like, it was like a little slang thing, but the internet got a hold of that and they were like, avocado means balls. And everybody started talking about testicle sauce being guacamole and like
testicle sauce being guacamole.
Testicle toast.
I've never heard of this.
Okay.
Testicle toast.
Yeah. When really it's not, I'm being nitpicky, but it doesn't come from that. It's just a nickname for it. Anyway.
I see. There's a middleman here. Yeah.
Yes. There's the root word and then things. Anyway, I thought that one was funny though, because I like the word, testicle sauce.
Ugh. Testicle sauce is great. Testicle.
It's disgusting.
Toast as well is really funny.
Anyway, this is one of my favorite ones is hangnail. Hangnail.
Hangnail. You know, okay. Yeah, yeah.
You know, the little piece of skin that comes off and it hurts right next to your nail. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with a finger, a nail, or skin at all.
Or hanging,
actually. You're right. It originally came from Old English for agnail. Agnail?
Agnail?
And ag.
Okay.
Ag is the same root word for anger. So it was like ag, like aggravate or what?
It's an angry nail.
Well, pretty much. But they were using it to describe a corn on the foot, on your foot.
Corn on the foot.
Disgusting.
It's delicious. My favorite barbecue item.
My favorite summer item is corn on the foot. So corns, I guess, I've never had one. I don't know what they are, but they're like painful things on your feet. And
yes,
the old English would describe it as an angry nail, meaning like it felt like someone was putting a spike into their foot. Right?
That's my favorite Alice in Chains song, by the way. Sitting with an angry nail.
That was good.
That's Angry Chair is the song.
Yeah, yeah. No, I got it.
Do you know that song?
Good. Yes.
Oh, you actually know one.
Maybe. Okay, let's go.
Oh, my
go.
God.
Let's
I'm impressed.
On. I'm embarrassed. I don't know I'm embarrassed.
I was like, why? Yeah.
I don't know. Like the second you were like, you know that one? I was like, hide. Like,
hide.
I don't know
I'm
why.
I'm excited. I'm excited that you knew it because you don't know any. You didn't know any of the other references, and I felt bad. But you know that one, so we.
Oh, so it comes from agnail, meaning painful spike, and somewhere along the line, because the word nail is the same root word for the nail for your finger and the nails you hammer into buildings.
Right.
And so people were like, oh, nail.
Which is weird.
This.
Yeah.
And after a while, agnail started sounding like hangnail or angnail. And they were like, oh, it makes sense. A hangnail is your nail and there's something hanging off of it. And in the 1600s, it kind of made this switch into like, now we're calling this a hangnail that's on my finger.
Yeah.
And not my foot with a gross growth on it. That
which
one
became
was the
corn
weirdest.
For some reason.
They called it corn.
Which reminds
I don't know
me of this food that's, you know, yellow or different colors, and then we barbecue
I
on it and make
corn.
Tortilla chips. Corn's the best. Corn.
So good.
That kid, remember the corn kid? That guy was great.
Yeah, corn.
He's like, we're all eating corn.
Yeah, he's great.
He's very cute.
Anyway, I have just a few more. Sand blind. Have you heard sand blind?
Sand blind? Wow. Yeah. Anna, racist much?
There's sand all over the world.
Wow, Hannah, you just think I'm...
You know what sand is, right? You love sand.
I hate sand, and I slaughtered all of them, like animals.
So sand blind? I've heard this, like, you get snow
blind. I've never
blind,
heard of sand blind before.
Sand blind.
Like well, in a sandstorm?
Yeah.
Wow, I think I am not medicated enough this morning.
No. I also am not. I don't think either of us are medicated. My brain is everywhere right now. I'm thinking about Zelda now. Thank you.
I'm just thinking about Darude. No, Sandstorm by Darude.
Oh, I thought you went Gerudo, like the Gerudo. Anyway.
Oh, that part's cool too. I have played that. It's really fun.
Yeah. I don't know.
But Sandstorm.
See,
I really
problem.
Want to hear Sandstorm
this
right
now. This
is
why I dropped out of college, because I couldn't I couldn't focus enough to take a test and pass it.
So Darude is the origin of the term sand blind. No, I'm also spreading lies. Okay. Sand blind comes from where? It's being blind from being in a sandstorm.
Yeah, but it means actually half blind, because in Old English, it was Sam meant half, like Sam. So it meant Sam blind, and it just meant half blind. And then everyone's like, that sounds like sand, which makes more sense, kind of. Same with shamefaced. Do you know that
shamefaced
word?
Shamefaced. I mean, as an adjective, sure. But is there another meaning for it?
Yeah, it came from shamefast, which meant like fixed shame. So you're not shamefaced, but you're shamefast. Like you're fastened and you're, you know.
Oh, I thought it was like I'm going to go on a shamefast and not feel bad for like 16 hours. Yeah, it's 8 o'clock at night. I'm going to go on my shamefast and I'm not going to experience shame till tomorrow at noon. And then at that point, I can also have, it's like intermittent shaming.
I'm on this new diet, mental health diet called intermittent shaming. And when I sleep, I don't get shamed, but I can't shame till noon.
Sometimes I wake up, I want to experience some shame, and it's really tough, but I know if I just get through that.
I can experience all the shame I want at noon.
But it's important to not overshame, because then you're nullifying the effects of going on that shame fast.
I would fail the shame fast.
Yeah. This is what all the big Hollywood celebrities are doing. That's how they get into shape for all these Marvel movies. They're shame fasting for 16 hours.
That's how they get into shame for all these Marvel movies. this is off the rails. Okay, just I'm going to cut some of these because there's too many.
Don't keep going. We got time.
We do? Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Fine. I already did avocado. Did you know that avocados look like testicles?
Have you heard the term, what was it? Testicle toast before?
Testicle toast. Okay. Cockroach.
Okay.
So cockroach is another one of those things where the English
were like...
Not going
to make any jokes. Yeah, just go with this one. I'm going to try to not interject.
No, there's going to be a lot of chances for you to make jokes. So I'd say hold off for like 2 minutes.
Okay.
Because there's going to be a better place to make a joke. So the original Spanish is cucaracha, which is the song, like cucaracha. And it just kind of means like beetle or like butterfly or caterpillar, or just a little bug. And when the English got a hold of it in 1620, of course, they were like, they're like, that sounds like cock.
Yeah.
Oh. We use that word for a lot of things. We use it for roosters. We use it to describe someone who's like, you know, vigorous and big and fast. And it sounds like roach, which I still haven't figured out what roach was. They just knew it was a word. So they were like, that sounds like cock and roach. We're going to call it a cockroach. And so I was like, well, where did roach come from? And so then I went on a whole other thing.
Yeah.
That's why I was late to recording today, because I had to figure out where the word roach comes from. So
it's a reasonable excuse for showing up late to the office.
Exactly. No, I was in here.
In our line of work, it is. Yeah. You're like, sorry, boss.
I have to figure this out.
I have to figure this out. And I'm like, Godspeed. Go for it. Yeah.
But still haven't really figured it out. There was like a fish that was called a roach, but it was some English word for something. I don't know. But while I was finding out what roach meant, I found that there were these bugs in Europe called maybugs.
Okay.
Also called cockchafers. There.
Cockchafers?
I'm handing this to you on a platter.
What were they doing with these bugs?
Well, chafing was like, they used that to like talk about like cutting stuff. What? I don't know, like in the fields, chafing.
Oh, okay.
And so like these bugs were known to like, you know, chew on things. So kill me. I can't describe this. So they called them cockchafers. I don't know why. Because they did it fast? But yeah, so there's these bugs that are still in existence called cockchafers. So
cockchafers.
Yeah.
Man, I'm not even going to make the obvious jokes here, but I'm just going
to
say
you don't have
questionable. To. Questionable. Yeah.
So I didn't find out where roach came from, but I did discover cockchafers, the bug.
It's, in many ways, that's the greater gift for us, actually.
I think so. I think so, too. And then here's another one that I went nuts on is bachelor.
Okay.
So we know it as somebody who's single, a man who's single, or somebody who gets a degree.
A very popular TV show, right?
I forgot about that TV show. Well, how did I forget? I've never seen it. Have you?
I have only seen it parodied. I have never watched it. I may have walked in on Sarah watching it at some point, like just going to the kitchen or something.
Yeah.
There was an old one.
Oh.
There was like an old guy that they just, I think it was like the geriatric bachelor.
Watching the Golden Bachelor.
Golden Bachelor. I like how you're like, yeah. I've never seen it. Also, I know the name of the show.
No. I have
also, here's my Golden Bachelor tattoo on my forearm that I just got because I'm such a huge fan.
It's the cast members. All their faces up my arm. Yeah. It's
their signatures. I got it off eBay.
Yeah, I had them sign my arm. What was I? Bachelor.
Bachelor was the word. I'm sorry. And then you said bachelor was also the term for when you get your undergraduate degree. Getting a bachelor's.
The degree I never got that I spent 8 years trying to get and never got. But you know what? Who cares? No one's ever asked. So bachelor, you got a bachelor. Oh yeah, you got another degree too, huh?
I have many degrees. It's gross.
How many?
I mean, no, I have two, but I just mean like, okay. I have a master's and a bachelor's.
Oh, that's right. Good job.
Basically, unless you go to certain parts of this, certain places where they're just like, oh, you think you're cool because you got a master's?
Lefty. Coastal elite.
Like, oh, let me tell you something.
Critical thought? What an idiot.
Yeah.
So bachelor starts crazy. Like, no one really knows where it comes from. There's a bunch of different ideas, but it's old. The word bachelor is old. And it comes from this, one of the first times you see it is bachelor. And it means a junior knight. So it was like a young, poor boy who was like kind of a knight.
Like a squire, not quite, like an assistant to the knight,
not even a squire. Like, it was just kind of like one of the guys, but he wasn't a full knight.
He was like knight by association.
Yeah. And then he wasn't a full knight. He wasn't knighted, but he was still like a knight. I don't understand the rankings of like knights. I need to get on that.
I feel like knight's like the top knight, right? Isn't it like when you're a knight, that's it. Isn't that what it is?
Yeah, I think. I don't know. Let's ask Sirloin.
Hey, Sirloin, how's that testicle toast treating you? It all comes back to dicks.
It's true. The whole world. Anyway, so this poor, young, crappy knight was called a bachelor. They may have thought it came from French for something or Latin for field hand, but they don't really know.
Okay, that makes sense.
When Oxford University and Cambridge opened, like they started using it to refer to somebody who was getting a bachelor's degree. And this was like in the 1300s, 1400s, mm-hmm. or no, even earlier. Those universities are super old. And around this time, they also started thinking, maybe it comes from baccalaureus. Have you heard of the baccalaureate program?
Yeah.
It's like smart high schoolers or whatever.
Yeah, I remember it. Yeah. I was not people, in it, but I remember it.
Me neither. Yeah. A lot of people thought the bachelor came from the same root word as baccalaureus because it sounds similar. So they kind of combined them. When really, baccalaureus is completely separate. It means like crown of laurels or something. To like crown Caesar or whatever, or a poet. But they had nothing to do with each other.
It all feels related, though. I could see that where you're like you're getting crowned with something once you have a degree. Like it's a
exactly
it's an honor of some sort. Yeah,
which is
it makes
a
sense.
Perfect example of a folk etymology of being like, oh, this is that. That makes sense. We're putting it here now. Now it's a bachelor degree because we were crowned with graduation.
That makes sense.
And so that's where that came from. And then, but it still kept that other meaning of like single man. And so there were these two meanings that were.
Doesn't even make sense.
No.
Increasing, especially these days, it makes even less sense because increasingly now men have less and less men have college degrees. Like women have more college degrees than men do by some insane ratio. It's like 2-1 or something. I don't know if it's exactly that. But it's not 2-1. I don't know if exactly that's what it is, but I'm saying it's something along the lines of like way more women have bachelor's degrees than men do.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Look at that. We're taking over. Get ready to be oppressed. Just kidding.
That sounds like witch talk to me.
Third warning.
Another witch warning. I'm like, hey, can we put like flames coming up on the bottom of your screen right now to make sure that you're on fire?
Alyssa? So
that
she can't know. Don't do that, Alyssa. No, that's my third witch warning. But I will say, Alyssa, if we'll make a graphic. No promises. But I want to make a little number graphic where it goes ding whenever I hit the next witch number. So I'm at three now. And how many do I need before you kill me?
Don't. Why are you asking me numbers, witch? I don't know how many it is. You know, you're the witch.
Four? Is that my fourth? So wait, how many do I need before I start? I get burned at the stake.
Listen, it really depends on my mood, I guess. I feel like that's
how
it works.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, I think that's how it worked.
Last time it was three, but this time it's one. Next time it'll be six. It depends on how much testicle toast I've consumed this week.
Great.
Right now you're at three. You're at three. Three warnings of which you're a third witch warning.
Okay. I'm going off topic for a second because another really big thing that bothers me when people say that the Salem witches were burned, they were not burned. The ones in Salem, Massachusetts were hung or pressed with a big board.
Pressed with
rocks.
A board?
Yeah.
Like they just stood on top of a board? Like
no,
they put
them under a board and then just put rocks on top of it until they died. Anyway, so don't you
dare.
Are
they like underground or something? I don't actually know this.
Oh, no, they're on top of the ground. They just put them on the ground.
So they just lie down and they just dump a bunch of rocks on them.
Yeah.
And then put a board on top of it.
So I was going to say, don't you anybody go around saying that they were burned.
No.
Or I'm going to find you and I'll commit witchcraft.
Hannah's going to be angry. Yes. She'll put you in a panini press and push down just like they did.
I had a job where I had to do that. I worked at a bakery making paninis.
Yeah.
I'd be really good at killing someone with a panini press.
That's your witch roots coming back because you've been reincarnated. And you know what it's like to press things.
Hey, quick question. Where are we? What are we talking about? I don't actually know anymore. Bachelor.
Yes, Bachelor.
Unhinged. So later Bachelor came to mean someone who was single and eligible to marry. So
yes.
This is the first time it ever meant really like what we see it as today. Before it was like, I'm a dumb knight or I graduated. And now it's someone who in the Victorian times was mm-hmm. rich and someone that any parent would want their daughter to marry. Eligible bachelor. So
nice.
Nowadays it's like literally anyone, any guy who's not married.
Now it's literally an insult.
Yes, it's like,
now it means you have your
bachelor.
Mattress on the floor, you drink milk out of the carton, and you do a lot of gaming probably.
Oh my gosh, am I bachelor coded? No, I only do gaming.
You never had your mattress on the floor?
No, I definitely did.
Oh, okay, yeah,
but
there you go.
Then
yeah,
I got a bed frame. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Bed frame, that was a big... I can confirm. Mm-hmm. That was like when I got...
I felt like an adult when I got a real bed frame.
Literally, at the time, my fiance forced me to do it finally. And I was like, okay.
Whoa. Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's when I got one too. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the bachelor was an eligible bachelor, someone who was like potentially a good partner for their daughter. And then there was also the term confirmed bachelor, which meant that guy's gay. And that was a nice way of saying...
Oh, that's what confirmed bachelor means.
Yes. Confirmed bachelor is like a little like a sly, like, here's how we say that someone's gay. Like, which president was it that was never married? He was a confirmed bachelor.
Who was... Lincoln's the one that I always think of that people talk about him having like a relationship with his
friend like
or whatever. That was like a
bisexual icon right there.
Yeah. All that red and green lighting behind him every time they took a photograph.
Red and green?
You ever heard the term bisexual lighting? It's like a whole
thing.
It's
not red or green.
Oh, it's like blue and purple or something. I don't know. It's always like some extreme lighting.
How dare you?
Oh.
Just kidding. Yeah, it's blue and purple and pink.
Blue and purple
bisexual.
And pink, yes.
Yeah.
That's how... I'm sure there's paintings that people did of Abraham Lincoln with that lighting. And if not, this is
we'll
a call to you to make it happen. This needs to...
Please.
Update the presidential painting in the White House.
And make him look really like, and because he doesn't know where he belongs. Because everyone says he's going through a phase.
Intense
or everyone says he's
bisexual
really just
lighting on Lincoln.
Or
yeah.
Everyone really says he's just pretending for attention. I don't know what any of that's like. Okay. So confirmed bachelor was, he's just gay. And then they started being like, well, what do we call a girl bachelor? This was like in the 50s. And they were like, we'll call it a bachelor girl. Until someone was like, no, 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 no.
Perfect.
We're calling it a bachelorette because French sounds fancy and we're making this up. So the word bachelorette is made up by us in the 1950s.
All right.
That's it. That's my, I mean, there's so many more I could talk about, but I can't, I shouldn't. It's, there's no way. So sorry, everybody. It's, go read about these.
What was your favorite one out of all of these?
Out of all of these, weirdly had a lot of fun with the bachelor one because I felt like I was going down these windy roads. But the one that made me laugh the most was the avocado one.
Yeah. Testicle toast.
Yep.
Testicle sauce. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Which is weird.
These millennials and their testicle toast.
What kind of
toast.
Guacamole are you guys eating that it's sauced? It's too thick. The viscosity of guacamole is not sauce.
Yeah, you're right.
I wouldn't think of it as a sauce.
Well, maybe you haven't eaten the right testicle sauce, so.
I thought you were going to say you haven't eaten the right testicles.
That too.
I've eaten zero.
Now we can get off this insane train of an episode.
Thank you. That was fun. I like learning about all this. That was unhinged and it was really fun. I actually liked doing that a lot. So why don't we go ahead and pull up our tabs? Why don't we do this before? What do we want for a sound effect? Should it be a wolfman being caught on fire and having his head chopped off and his nipples ripped?
How about
a scream or the sauce, a sound of like of testicle toast getting made and like spread?
Ew! No, a scream and then the sound of testicle toast.
Okay.
No, just a scream. Okay, hold on. I got to go find the tab. Hold on, hold on. Where'd it go? Oh, I accidentally just closed it. Hold on. Let me reopen
it. All right. I'm going to do it. Oh, no, okay, I'm going to wait.
Okay, okay, okay. Ready?
This episode's chaos. Okay, ready?
Three.
Dos.
One. Did you close it?
I did. This may be the dumbest episode we've ever done. I love it so much.
This is what I love. I love this.
It's silly. Yes, I did close it. It's gone.
Good, good riddance.
Just like Peter Stump.
Rest in pieces, you know?
Rest in pieces with your nipples over in one corner and your head in another corner and your broken arms and legs in another.
Wait, that's what the story can be about, is when he comes back from the dead to find his wolf belt, he also has to find his nipples and his head.
He's like, listen, I got my nips pierced when I was down in the in hell.
I need my nipples.
I need some nipple. Or no, it could be like, it starts with Satan gifting him some beautiful new nipple rings.
I was going to say that the entrance cost to hell is getting your nipples pierced.
Nipples pierced. What are you? What if you already have them pierced?
Then you got to get them pierced again.
That's double pierced. But I think it's much more endearing if they gave him nipple piercings. Or sorry, give him like nice nipple rings. And he's like, oh, Satan, thank you. And he's like, well, put them on. And he's like, oh my God, he can't know. I have to go back to Earth and get them. Along with my belt.
He doesn't want to embarrass Satan.
Yeah.
And so he goes back to Earth.
I got you nipple rings and a wolf belt. And this is how you respond. And this is how you treat me.
Peter. Poor Peter. Someone write this. Okay.
Okay. I think we just did.
Moving
anyway,
on.
Moving on to listener emails. I will go first since we did that this way. So first email is from Amelia from Adelaide, Australia.
Ooh.
That's exciting. We are now, just like Pitbull, we are Mr. Worldwide.
Oh my gosh.
Not to be confused with Mr. Manager. Congratulations to both of us. Mr. Manager. It's Mr. Manager. Mr. Worldwide. Hannah and Kaveh, thank you for this podcast. Well, thank you for thanking us. Rather than closing tabs, I'm opening more. ...
Sorry.
Same. I'm also sharing it with my many open tabs friends. The more the merrier. We love you all. My tabs, these were only opened recently after listening to a podcast interview with Issa Lopez about her show True Detective Night Country. I assume you have not started watching this because you don't watch anything or...
Only listen to true crime. If I watch it, I won't sleep ever.
I've watched the first episode and a half
of True Detective
of the new season. Jodie Foster's in it. It's like it takes place in Alaska. It's kind of crazy, actually. Yeah, I'm behind, so I can't even.
I've seen the first True Detective, Time is a Flat Circle, you know?
Yeah, this is a little, so far that's it seems a little less.
Is that what that's from?
That's a, yeah, that's McConaughey's whole thing where he keeps talking about it. He's okay, like, ah, I'm a flat circle. And he's all like, I'm a bit of a pessimist. I can't do it. Now I just sound like Gopher. Ah,
you lost your McConaughey.
Winnie the Pooh. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you do.
He's like, hey, Sandy, I got to drink some water to be able to do it correctly.
Hey,
Sonny. No. I say, Winnie the Pooh. You think that there's a true detective here, huh?
You sound, that whistle was really impressive.
Say what?
Shay.
I have a weird tooth, see?
Oh, you got the tooth.
See? I got the tooth, I can do it. Anyway, oh, derailed whoa. Once again. let's continue not reading the email that we were...
That's right.
Okay, so the TLDR story... Which I still, is it today I learned? I don't know what, no. I know what TLDR means. I just don't know literally what it stands for.
Too long didn't read.
Oh, okay. Too long didn't read story. I always knew it in context, but I actually never looked it up. Okay. Too long didn't read story, although this might be still too long, but we're going to do it anyway. So nine young and experienced hikers start a trek through the snowy Ural Mountains in 1959. Mm-hmm. When they do not reach their destination as expected, a search party is sent out. Their tent is found, their warm clothes neatly folded, boots left behind. Barefooted and stockinged footprints walking away from the tent lead the search party to find the bodies of few members of the group. They had died of hypothermia. They were only dressed in their underwear. It takes more than 2 months to find the rest of the bodies, and they have catastrophic internal injuries, yet nothing external immediately explains this. Further, curiously, their clothes test positive for high levels of radiation. What happened on the mountain? Why did they leave their tent? There are many theories as to what happened. Isa Lopez at least says she doesn't feel it's been solved satisfactorily. A few more tabs for you below. The New Yorker tab is the most relatable. Yeah, there's three here. Thanks again, Amelia. Well, thank you, Amelia. This was known as the Dilatov Pass incident.
Yeah, have you read about it?
I feel like there was a podcast about this, right?
I think last podcast did a whole thing on it.
They might have done something on it. Yeah, I vaguely remember, but it seems like it was from a while ago.
This was one of the things I really first started, like one of the hooks that got me like into opening endless tabs.
Oh, really? This is like your origin story almost.
This is
of
one
tabs.
Of my, this and the fire of the 1666 fire of London. I would read about this a lot. And it's creepy. It's super creepy. Like they had like radiation burns. Like their skin was like tan from radiation.
Whoa.
Yeah. And their tongues were bitten off.
Do you have like a theory about this?
I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, it's aliens. And the other days I'm like, there was a lot of stuff going on in the 50s. Like, as far as testing goes and nuclear stuff. And
I have two words for you.
Yeah?
Peter Stump.
You solved it.
I cracked the case.
He did it. He killed all those people. All those Russians. You're right.
Peter Stump. Can't trust the guy.
He's looking for that belt. Yeah, no, the Dyatlov Pass incident is creepy. But they think they solved it because they said it was just like some crazy like freak avalanche or something.
Oh, Dyatlov. What did I say? Dilatov?
Dyatlov.
Yeah, no, I think I said Dyatlov. It wrong. Right.
Dyatlov. I don't know. I don't speak Russian. But yeah, you should go.
I don't talk no Russian. I'm an American. I only talk American. Anyway, okay. Yeah, thank you, Amelia. Thank you for telling everybody about our podcast. Thank you for writing in.
Yeah.
Now go ahead. Now it's yours.
Tell your friends to please write in. This is from Ashton in San Jose. And he says, Dear 500 Open Tabs, I have a tab open from Kotaku called McDonald's and Fandom replaced a wiki page with an advertisement.
Okay. So
if you remember back in the spring of 2023, you probably saw a lot of talk about Grimace and his purple shake. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do remember
that. Grimace shake. It was like Grimace's birthday party. And then they like released some gross purple shake that everyone
dumped
out on the ground. And all the Gen Z kids were like, we're going to do this to stick it to McDonald's, except they gave him a bunch of money. Anyway. So Fandom is a website. It's like a wiki for most fandoms. It used to be Wikia. Do you remember Wikia? I don't.
No.
So Fandom is a site that hosts wikis for different fandoms. So
okay.
Everyone is now trying to move off of it because the page for Grimace, that old purple McDonald's mascot, was turned into a temporary ad. McDonald's paid Fandom's owners to replace Grimace's page with a paid advertisement for their upcoming Grimace's birthday party celebration. And it made everyone really mad, so a ton of huge fandoms like Minecraft, etc., are leaving and wanting to make their own wikis to avoid the owner of Fandom selling out to corporations. Thanks.
Are these? How does it work? Were there ads on the page, on the website? Like, are people donating?
No. They just changed his, like, the Grimace page to like a one huge ad for that birthday thing they did.
No. What I'm saying is, it like Wikipedia where they're always trying to be like, can you elicit donations and stuff? Like, how does Wikia make its money? Is this one of those things where people, I'm sorry, Fandom, maybe people aren't like paying for, because most people don't pay for Wiki. They're just like, whatever, I don't care.
You know, like, what? I pay for it.
Do you really? Good for you.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I use it every single day for something.
Yeah.
Anyway, once I started like being able to pay for it, I was like, yeah, okay. Jimmy That's Welsh, nice. I'll give you money.
Good guy. I don't know actually anything about it. Actually,
don't know either.
Thank
you for Wiki. No. But yeah, I don't really know. I'm looking at it and it doesn't seem like there's ad. Looks like there's ads on here, but.
Okay. So they are able to.
Yeah. But yeah, it's interesting. Everyone's like, no.
Giant Grimace ad.
Yeah. I gotta go look up the picture of it or something, but yeah, that's my email.
All right. Thank you, Ashton in San Jose, for your submission. If you guys, as we said, have submissions for, if there's tabs that you've closed or maybe 50 more tabs that you've opened as a result of something that we discussed on the show, we want to hear all about it. Please send us an email. We are at 500, I'm sorry, we are 500opentabs@gmail.com. That's 500opentabs. Let us know a little bit, like just a quick blurb about, you know, what you learned or a fun anecdote or anything you want to share with us. Let us know your name and where you're from, and also let us know the link to what it was that you looked up.
Yeah, so we can help other people open more tabs, because turns out that's what this show is about now.
Yes, so. We're not about closing tabs other than our own. And again, by the way, even for the last one, which I mean, today's episode, which was short, I still opened like 10 tabs. Like, so it's we're never getting below 490. No.
I will say, doing this has made me go through my tabs, obviously, and I keep closing ones that were like the landing page for like a login for something, or
okay,
like you bought this, here's your receipt. I'm now down to. Are you ready for this?
Yeah,
I am down to. When I started this podcast, I was in the 480s.
Yeah,
and now I'm down to 355.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It hasn't been that low in living memory.
Listen.
Anyway.
I am thrilled to hear it. That means that this show is doing its job.
It is.
It's helping you clean some stuff up. That's great. It's an unintended consequence. But for now, until more purchases are made and then you don't close those windows.
And ever. Anyway, we're also at 500 open tabs on Instagram and Twitter. And maybe soon to be TikTok. We'll see.
Oh, right. We got to get on that.
Yeah.
I'm afraid of TikTok. I think I say this every episode. Or I'm like, I'm afraid of wading into those waters. That seems too much.
I'm scared of teenagers and I'm scared of TikTok. And those two things are both there. So.
Yeah. We are also individually on social media. I'm at Covetarian on Twitter. I'm also on Blue Sky. Oh, and then I'm also on Instagram at PermaFriends is my handle.
And I'm at Hannah Hillam on everything.
And of course, like we always say, follow the sponsor links, leave us reviews. Anything you can do to help spread the word about the tabs is very helpful.
Yes.
And thank you guys again for those of you who have done that so far, who have left us nice reviews and five stars and
super
stuff.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's very kind and it's very helpful. So keep it up, guys.
Yeah, and stay.
Stay Josie, everybody.
Stay Josie.
Keep it Josie.
Keep it Josie.
Don't eat too much testicle toast.
Please don't.
Please don't. And try your, what was it? Anxiety. What was it called? Stress fast?
Shame fast.
Shame fast.
Try shame fasting.
The shame fast diet. I lost 30 pounds with the shame fast diet.
Why are you losing weight with this?
I'm just thinking of Slim Fast. Do you remember Slim Fast?
Oh,
they
yeah.
had like the pants coming out to here and their bellies. Anyway, keep it shame fast.
Wait, you gotta get like one of those noises of a train derailing.
Yeah.
That we can just.
Okay, bye.
Bye.